Good morning and welcome to Exodus. It is Monday, the 2nd of September in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It has it seems like maybe it's been a while, but it's actually only been a week. My did Lo Alamon bring blessing to us. The Lord bless us through him this past week. But now we're back and we are ready to push play on a brand new series on the Wake Up Call. If you're new and joining us for this, welcome. We're so glad to have you. If you have been with us a while, we're looking forward to this journey that we're about to take through one of the most epic stories of the whole Bible, so foundational to our faith in Jesus. So let's get right to it. We always begin every day by consecrating ourselves to the Lord, setting ourselves apart, setting Jesus apart as Lord in our hearts, getting our focus, our heart, our mind, our eyes, our body onto him, inviting him to dwell within us. So are you ready? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry, and perhaps the whole series, I'm calling Plan B? Our text today, Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 21, I believe. Hear now the word of the Lord. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I was having lunch with a dear friend recently. It was the 10-year mile marker of the day he found his 40-year-old son dead of a heart attack. He told of how this tragedy led to the rapid decline and death 6 years later of his otherwise healthy wife of 52 years. He then shared the burden of his ensuing sadness and loneliness in the 4 years since then. Then, with tears forming in his eyes, he said these words, "Plan B." I asked him what he meant. He said, "I guess my life is now on plan B." I can't stop thinking about it. I guess my life is now on plan B. I think it's because that's probably how I feel about my own life. Plan A had a marvelous 45-year run, and then a 10-year-long train wreck brought on by our experience of mental illness, leading to the devastation of an unwanted divorce and the death of a family's future, never to be. I guess my life is now on plan B. Well, how's that for a welcome to Exodus, the brand new shiny series on the wake-up call? I think I'm going to call it Plan B. Only 15 verses into the epic story of Exodus, and we get these words. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." When the unnamed king of Egypt calls a meeting with the named Hebrew slave midwives, we know we are well into a plan B situation. If you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. Yep, that's definitely plan B. Everything seemed to be going well enough for the Israelite people in Egypt. From chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, "Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them." Looks like plan A, doesn't it? Straight out of Genesis 1. "God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." That's Genesis 1:28. Then plan B entered the picture. "Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." That's Exodus 1, 8 through 10. Plan B is always driven by fear, scarcity, self-preservation, and fueled by the projection of unlikely worst-case scenarios. Watch where it leads. "So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh." That's Exodus 1:11. Plan B is cruel, oppressive, destructive, and devastating. It saps faith and slays freedom. But can we be honest about something? Plan B didn't start with the king of Egypt. It began much earlier. It was conceived all the way back in the beauty of the garden known as Eden, also known as Plan A. Plan B entered the world at Genesis 3 with three fateful words. "Now, the serpent." "If you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. He's been stealing and killing and destroying ever since. Consider Joseph, son number 11 of 12, whose brothers hatched the plan B to throw him into the bottom of a well and then relented to sell him as a slave for 20 shekels of silver to a band of Ishmaelites heading to Egypt. In the midst of a plan B reality, God always has a plan A story. Joseph, let me say that again. In the midst of a plan B reality, God always has a plan A story. Joseph, all the way back through his favored life as the dreamer, was an agent of plan A. And all the way forward through the torturous path of his future, from favored son to forgotten slave to falsely accused to wrongly imprisoned, and onward to becoming the hand of the king and the deliverer of those who betrayed him, Joseph was God's secret agent of his unstoppable plan A. In the midst of a plan B reality, God always has a plan A story. Now we see Shiphrah and Puah taking the baton and lifting the torch as the secret agents of plan A, taking it straight into the jaws of plan B. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. We must not resign ourselves to plan B. Why? Because God has never given up on plan A. As Joseph, the dreamer, said so well to his brothers who betrayed him, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." That's Genesis 50:20. Buckle up. This is the story of Exodus, indeed of the whole Bible. The story of how the plan A God of heaven and earth winds his way into and through plan B, crushing the serpent underneath his feet, redeeming, restoring, and renewing his people and the whole creation, displacing darkness by light, desecrating sin by righteousness, destroying death by resurrection, and crushing chaos by new creation. Plan B? I guess my life is no longer on plan B. What if the time for your exodus has come? That knocking you hear at the door? Plan A is back. The prayer for deliverance. You'll remember we've been praying for a long while now, the prayer for transformation. We're making a gear shift in this series. We're going to be praying this prayer for deliverance. It will continue to develop and unfold as we move along. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I hear you decree a season of exodus over me, over my family, over my church. I receive it, and as you decree it, I declare it. Prepare my heart, mind, soul, and strength for the deliverance that comes with Exodus. Now let it be as you decree, for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. Glory be. Let's sing it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. The journal prompts. Have you felt resigned to the ravages of Plan B in your life? Are you ready to get back on board with Plan A? What might that mean? Any Bible stories or particular texts come to mind along these lines? Write them in your journal. And for our hymn today, if you're new to us, one of the things we do on the wake-up call is we sing a hymn every morning. I never imagined that I'd be leading hymns on a podcast, but it has come to that. I'm delighted to do it. So you're going to sing with me. We've got our own hymnal that we've made at Seedbed. It's called Our Great Redeemer's Praise. There's a link in the email. I'd love you to get a copy. I call the number every morning. We're going to sing the title track today. It's actually a line that comes from the very first hymn by Charles Wesley in our hymnal, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. We'll sing all seven verses. Are you ready? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me. He speaks, and listening to His voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. In Christ your head you then shall know, shall feel your sins forgiven, anticipate your heaven below, and own that love is heaven. Amen. Well, that is a song of deliverance, and my friends, we are in need of deliverance in so many ways and places, and it's going to unfold before us. It's good to be with you here now in Exodus, and we are embarked. So it's time to get your seeds. It's Monday. It's Labor Day. I get it. In America, that's a holiday. A lot of people will still be working right along and working around the world. Work or leisure, it's a day for sowing for a great awakening. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.